Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast in which we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And my name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at No Clutch Nate.
And today we're talking about minute 203 of part 6, Something Darker. The minute's going to start with Steppenwolf preparing to cut down Cyborg. And then the minute is going to end with Wonder Woman and Aquaman witnessing Superman's return. So in this minute, Superman returns.
Whoa, we got there.
Yeah.
203 minutes in, Superman's back in the fight.
I saw you perk up when he said not impressed, and you're like, oh, wait, Superman's here.
Yeah, I did that. But also, I needed to roll back that because of that moment. And we'll get there in a minute. But how do you feel now that Superman is back? We're here. We got the gang, the band. Boys are back in town, but everybody's back in town. The group is back in town. They need to change that song. They need to change. They need to update the lyrics, huh?
Yeah. You know, I always wondered what his entrance looked like, because we knew that what we got in the theatrical version was a reshoot, just plain as day. Like, you know, I believe in truth, but I'm also a big fan of justice.
Yeah, but he still does the shoulder block for the axe, doesn't he?
No. He just shows up behind him and then punches him.
Does he do a little woo woohoo? Does he do a little whistle?
No.
Is Steppenwolf monologuing and then Superman comes in with the retort? Is that what it is?
Frost breath in the Justice League that he will do the frost breath completely different and then shatter the axe. But it's not the way that it's done here, where Superman just appears and like takes the hit and it does nothing to him, which is very important to note that the axe did not a damn thing to Superman.
Yeah.
So he could not kill Superman even if he wanted to.
Didn't even damage the suit. Like, that's the other thing. Like, anything Kryptonian is just like the complete apocalyptic repellent.
Yeah.
Anything Kryptonian.
You've been saying that this unity-empowered Steppenwolf really isn't so. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing enhanced about Steppenwolf. And so you see this final boss version of Steppenwolf, like, throw this axe down. This was supposed to kill Cyborg. Like, this was supposed to just cleave him down in half, because his body is obviously made out of apocalyptic technology. So the axe would just cut through him like butter. But
here's hot knife through butter.
Hot knife through butter.
Because cutting through butter just normally, especially butter out of the fridge. Come on. Are you a fridge? Are you a butter in the fridge guy?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, because I believe dairy products should be refrigerated.
I do too. But you'd be surprised at how often butter is left outside of the fridge. Maybe overnight, but like during the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to get it to room temperature, and then you're going to
You know, I'm one of those people that have figured out that hack of just, like, softening butter in, like, a minute, so, like, it doesn't...
Oh, yeah, you take a cup, microwave some water, pour the water out, put the cup over the stick of butter, and bing, bing,
and
bang,
then
boom.
It's done. And then you
That's called convection, baby. It's
like
an oven.
I'm going to leave my butter out like a savage.
Yeah, I mean...
put that stuff back in the fridge. Come on now.
Do whatever you want to margarine, you know, but don't disrespect the butter.
Yeah. So Superman will just, I don't even know what it is. He flies down.
Yeah, Superman flies down. I'm sorry. I got to go back to this butter thing real quick, because I realized something that kind of blew my mind, and it was legitimately just me not reading labels or ingredients of things. So I was buying sticks of butter, or what I thought was sticks of butter. And if you've been to the supermarket here recently, you would be appalled at the price of butter lately. You know, it's insane. It's like $6 for 4 sticks or something. It's ridiculous. What's going on? At least, you know, at most a dollar a stick, but anyway. So I was buying, stick, yeah. I was, you know, trying to be as frugal as I could in the previous months. And I was buying this pack of butter where it's like five sticks and it was for like half the price of regular butter. And I didn't put any thought to it. I was like, okay, that's just the cheap brand. Just go, we're eating the cheap brand now, Nate. You got to buck up. So I was doing it. It wasn't until like I got to like the end of the box, the last stick, very end of the last stick, for me to realize like, that's not butter. And it's not even, I can't believe it's not butter. It wasn't even like that invocative of an epiphany. It was more like I got bamboozled. It was like, like vegetable oil butter,
just like coagulated vegetable oil. Yeah,
it was like a vegetable or like a canola oil butter, and I was like, when did that happen? I thought it was butter this whole time.
He literally thought said, I was I can't eating sticks it's of butter. Not butter,
and I was like, well, kind of proud of myself because I was using it like as butter, and like now that I think back of it, sometimes when I was like making like a cream sauce or something, and I was trying to thicken it up, and I'm just like, why isn't this thickening? I'm not using butter. Because I just not thinking it because I'm not using butter. I was just putting more vegetable butter. Oil in it. Yeah.
It's just vegetable oil. Yeah, yeah. That's what I use. Is I use like the vegetable oil butter, basically. Like or like avocado oil or olive oil based butter. See,
they just burn too quick. That's the thing. They just burn the smoke, whatever the.
But we were talking about this off mic. You make sauces and creams and yes. stuff, pastas, and I don't do that because I
You leave
I'm
it
like
to
a little
Italian.
Bit more lean when I eat at home versus yeah. like, yeah. So that's just my thing. So welcome back to Butter Minute. Talk about
not
this.
A bad minute. That's the show I do after
We're
this.
We're talking about the BTS song Butter.
Oh, I wouldn't know anything about that.
Okay, well, then we'll skip
then that's the premise. We get the guests on. I bring the butter talk, and they're actually talking about BTS. Yeah. So
yeah. There you go. And who's the, and, who's and the, who's you know the main we're talking guy? About refrigerating butter and. Superman uses his frost breath here to freeze the Electro Axe. So it's all tangent and you know, it's all related.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, frost breath, Superman, he gets to do it.
Hang on. Okay. Before we get there.
Okay.
Superman's entrance. I have to ask you, how do you feel about it compared to just showing up behind him versus him actually doing the saving grace moment of just showing up? How do you feel about it? Like on all points, visually, CGI, Lee, and you know, in storyboard wise, like how do you feel about this moment right here?
So what I want you to do is, and
you want,
there should
you want
be
me to
on
find
the
break point.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You can stop there.
I got it. It's a silhouette, which is. Pretty
that's as good as it's gonna get.
I could go even more frame by frame if I brought it up in an editor, but
well yeah, I was gonna say if you click the cog you can go frame it, you can slow it down the playback speed, yeah, and go on the slowest one and then but still you did capture it. So it's like he will drop down like literally like it's flying but it's like flying downward, it's like elevator shaft, like boom,
yeah,
hit the ground.
Got to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
Is there a hole in the ceiling? Yeah, there's obviously a hole. It's the big smokestack.
It's the big smokestack.
The whole thing's a hole.
Yeah. And we've seen it in so many different angles. So yeah, he'll fly straight down behind Cyborg and take the hit of the axe and be completely unharmed. And then, yeah, you see it here. Superman is here. And I like it, but it's also so strange to see an unfazed Superman in action. We've never seen this before.
Yeah.
Not with Doomsday, not with General Zod. We've always seen him just like against the ropes. And then here it's just like, well, I guess we saw it with Lex Luthor when he was like, you've lost, right? Like that's the only other time we're just like, oh, Superman's here and he's upset. And like here it's Superman and he's like cocky a little bit. He's just like,
I think he crosses his arms though in that. You lost moment.
Yeah, he
like
might.
Like when he's back at the scout ship, right?
Yeah, yeah, he might have, but
he crosses. But that's like what I'm like. I'm crossing my arms now because that's what I feel like he should be doing. Like that could have been like the. That could have been the more animated entrance instead of just. I mean, here maybe it's more in practical use because you gotta flex, and you gotta like do that whole sturdiness of your shoulder. But see if his arms were crossed. And he lands, and he looks like, you know, how you would see, like, a very overconfident comic book Superman, quintessential comic book Superman, where he lands, arm crossed, and he says the line, not impressed. You would think that that demeanor goes together, right? But then him just landing, arms flat to his side, like a little kid, he's like, not impressed. And it's like, well, I'm not impressed by your landing. I'm not impressed by your entrance, my guy. And you're one of my favorites. So that's where I was going. Him saying he's not impressed. I'm not impressed by this Superman entrance.
I think it could
it's
be.
It's better than the theatrical, but.
Yeah. I think it could almost be the angle is off. You know, like maybe he is just like you said, arms crossed, floating in midair. And just like taking the axe more towards like the symbol.
See, that would have been.
Okay, so going
that,
back
so
to.
That's, I kind of like had to step back and think about it.
Let's go
visually,
back to like Injustice, right? Like the video game.
Yeah.
And like you can do like. I'm trying to think of like the armored move he has, right? Where he. His character ability, he can have like kind of like armored because he does like the red sun.
Yes, but
ability.
Also that
so he
character
has armor,
mold.
And then, like you do the overhead attack and it hits him right in the symbol and it's just like, nope.
But that character mold's like, hitbox is further up because he's not on the ground. He's floating all the time in the game in both Injustices. He's never on the ground.
I think if we were playing with action figures right now and you just elevate him a little bit more so that he's like, head eye to eye with Steppenwolf and that axe like hits him right in the chest with his arms crossed.
Yeah.
That like sets up a better image. And he can still do this whole thing, like not impressed. Blow the axe into pieces. But because he's down on the floor, regular human scale, the lighting and the looks, like it doesn't work as well.
I'm not saying that it doesn't work, period, because it still does work.
It works.
I am still excited that he's back, and I do very much enjoy him being here. It's also, like, a little soft-spoken, too. The not impressed seems like, I don't know, just seems a little like he's phoning it in. And I don't want to say that, and I don't want to criticize another person's work and their ability in acting, because I don't know what I'm talking about, but... It's one of those things where it's like, I wasn't sold by that. I wasn't sold by that line.
No, I
like you
I like
could have done a different delivery.
Like,
someone could have said, try it again. Unless it was the end of the day and everybody was tired and everybody was wanting to go home and you felt bad for saying, okay, just let's do it one more time, guys.
What
like,
is this story you're creating?
It's just, I'm putting myself in their shoes. I'm putting myself in the shoes of the production.
That's funny.
But yeah, I don't know.
I like the soft-spoken Superman because, like, it is like the homegrown superhero kind of thing. Like, not impressed. Like it is Superman to me, and him saying that to this big alien warlord, like that's empowering. That the small guy is telling the big bully, you know, the Goliath, like, no, they're not getting away with this. So I find that empowering.
Yeah. Okay. When I think about the size differences between the two of them and I'm actually seeing it like on screen and whatnot, I'm very reminded of, the Goku and Frieza dynamic, but the roles were reversed. Goku is the higher and taller and more, you know, burly, stronger looking character, but he was also the nicer character. And you know,
and Frieza was
that,
a small one who with the
yeah, and you got that iconic complex. Image of them, you know, glaring up eye to eye to each other, and Goku's bending down. So like I can see where that idea comes from.
Yeah. No, I, yeah, maybe I know he's here to to block and protect Cyborg, I think it would be okay to elevate the character a little bit more to match the height of Steppenwolf. But like you said, it doesn't take away from the impact of the scene. Just when we talk about the framing of the shot, it could be a little bit better. And that's up to Fabian Wagner, right? Is our cinematographer. I'm like drawing a blank here. And not Larry Fong. And I think that's you know, probably the difference between them.
No, because when Larry Fong wants to do that dynamic, he did it right in Dawn of Justice, where when Superman is fighting armored suit Batman, and he does get the power back and ends up levitating just by a couple feet to show that, like, I'm going to meet your eye level, but then go above you.
Yeah.
Kind of and overpower that's power see, dynamic.
We see that later in this minute. So, you know, he'll frost breathe the axe and shatter it, which is just really cool, empowering thing to like make Steppenwolf scared. It's just how quickly he shatters this deadly weapon that he's been using this entire movie to kill people and like hurt the Justice League members. And then he like comes in and just shatters it in seconds. And then punching Steppenwolf into the distance, as we'll come to see later, like there's this amazing shot of him like above Steppenwolf, like as he floats above him. And it's just a really beautiful shot of Superman. And he'll just like punch him down into the second level. It really just shows the power that Superman has. And
you're talking about a later scene?
It's a later one after Steppenwolf tries to claw at him. Okay. But yeah, I see that we see it here as well. After he shatters the axe, he'll kind of float up and meet the height of him. So maybe that's the other thing. Maybe they're like, we want to show that as maybe that's why he's lower.
So maybe that is just the way to show the intimidation tactic of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't have had him just showing up in already intimidation pose, because then it wouldn't hit as hard, you know?
Yeah, you're right. There's everything that Superman does in this minute. It's just like, he is incredibly powerful.
It's really OP. Like that nap really, really did wonders on it for you.
Yeah, and I was drinking all the radiation from the sun.
I was going to say, but also that's where the black suit comes in, baby. That's what we do. It's the regenerative suit. It healed him and boosted the energy. So there we go. What is his frost breath like in the Justice League version? So he shows up behind him. Does the frost breath happen in like the same kind of sequence? Is it like the first thing that Superman does is just remove the axe?
No, actually. He actually breaks it later. I think he punches Steppenwolf first and then he goes to swing and then he freezes it. But it's two different shots. And I see here in this minute when he does it here, he has a tighter like embouchure for when he does the frost breath, so he doesn't puff his cheeks out as much. But in the Justice League version, it's a little bit more comical and he has like more of like the puffed out cheeks.
Yeah, blowing versus like you can tell. I don't know. This one I see like it's more controlled. Like he starts off with. I didn't
get that. Oh, Siri.
Closing his lips as if it was, you know, not hot air and blowing cooler air out. But then he also puffs out the cheeks in a very normal fashion just to, like, convey that he's blowing a bigger breath. Not so much as comic book cartoon style where it has to be, you know, chipmunk cheeks, but...
Yeah. I like this kind of tight embouchure of the frost breath. But also, like, there's a little bit of puff cheek to kind of, like, show that he is blowing air. So it's a really well done little Amisher trick that he does. I really do like that. And then he'll just Sparta kick Steppenwolf here. This must. I'm sure a lot of people are like, "Oh, it's a reference to 300." It's like could be, but
could be. But also, that's just a normal fighting kick. I'm pretty sure that's also a move in Injustice.
Could be. Yeah, actually.
Well, Ganon has it in Super Smash.
Yeah. No, this kick, it has to be a call back to 300. And so, yeah, you know, iconically had that Spartan kick from Gerard Butler and as King Leonidas. And to do it here with Superman kicking the first Justice League villain, it's like, yeah, we're gonna do this little bit here where he kicks him across the room, and it's going to be that Spartan kick. And yeah, it's a nice callback. It shows the power of Superman. I don't think we've ever really seen him use his legs for combat before.
No, I don't think we have either.
Yeah, so it's just pretty cool here to see that. And what really makes this minute sing is the music. We've never heard the Man of Steel music like in this type of orchestra, in this type of ensemble. Like the way it sounds, it's not like the Flight one, like First Flight, but it's just as like heroic, almost like redeeming. It's like I've never heard this theme played like this before.
It's hope, and baby. It's hopeful.
Quite phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah, I really dig it. One thing that I am going, another thing that I am going to pick apart is his heat vision looks different than what we've seen in the past. And it's like maybe it's because it's more powerful or more controlled. But yeah, it's not just like completely engulfing his eyes in red glow. You can see his iris outside of it. And it just seems a little bit more pretty than raw, I guess, if you were to describe it like we've seen in the previous movies. Even when he flies up to meet Lex Luthor at the top of LexCorp, it's that angry, angry fire in his eyes. And it's like his whole eyes are glowing. It's not just his pupils, I guess.
Yeah, in this version, in this minute, he's so much more collected and focused, and he's like, there's no aggravation in the heat vision this time. Whereas in all the other versions, like even when he was a child in Man of Steel, and then fighting General Zod, yeah, and then being upset at Lex Luthor, fighting Doomsday, these all have been very aggressive heat visions, anger. The only time we have seen something similar is when he was carving through the ice in Man of Steel, and he was like, well, I know that my heat vision can do this. But I think then as well, like, yeah, when he uses the heat vision in the Antarctic, or no, he goes to Canada. I'm sorry. He's in Canada. When he finds the scout ship. Yeah, he uses heat vision there on Lois Lane to cauterize the wound and to build the tunnel. But here to hit an enemy, he's using like the actual heat vision, the laser beams. And here he's like, no malice, no anger, no aggression, just I'm going to have to kill you with this. But, you know, I'm going to be pretty nice about it. Yeah. And so he just has the heat vision build up. And yeah, like you said, Nate, it's just prettier. But damn, does it blow a hole through the reactor.
Yeah. So I think that's also, it's just, again, I think it's supposed to illustrate his higher level now.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's more powerful than he was before. So yeah, that heat vision goes, and he doesn't stop it right away. So it's, and he doesn't have to like wince and close his eyes after it to turn it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love There's so many. I love every single moment of Superman in this minute, every single shot. Like I said, I love the one where Steppenwolf goes to attack him and it's in slow motion. He dodges, like, it's nothing to him, man. And then he floats up above, and then he's above Steppenwolf. And then because Steppenwolf realizes that he missed, he's, you know, we call that whiff punish. He just, he whiffed it, and then Superman gets to punish him, punching him down through the lower level. And I really enjoy that. And yeah, it's also cool just to see the Steppenwolf claw versus in the other version, which was the original Steppenwolf, like the fist. And it's like, eh, that's nothing. But this claw is actually something to look at in detail as it's passing.
Very, airbender style of fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is all in all just a really cool Superman moment. It's empowering, of course, yeah. But as far as some choreography for Superman, it is quite entertaining. So yeah, and I will always love just that shot of him breaking the axe as it's frozen. It's also a different freezing. If I remember correctly, the electro axe, the heat axe in the other version, I think it like freezes. I think it, like ice cube freezes over, like there's like ice coming off of it.
Whereas
this one's like absolute zero.
Yeah.
Dry ice, cold. Like it's, you see the frost going into the axe and like freezing it up. And it's like not like turning into an ice cube, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember being more happy with this frost breath than the theatrical version. Distinctly remember being more happy with the way that they went about it in this one. Because, I guess it did, you know, I guess when I saw it at first, the theatrical version, I was like, yeah, that makes sense to frost breath the fire axe because it'll cancel it out. You know, that makes sense. Okay. And I think I just moved on.
Yeah. Yeah. This is pretty cool.
Yeah. Even with me being not as impressed with the entrance, it's still a very wonderful and enjoyable minute.
Yeah. My only other note is that Cyborg is kind of communing with the mother boxes now, but he hasn't called Barry Allen to deliver the charge. And I wonder why that is, because I thought in previous minutes, he was like, all right, Barry, on my mark, 3, 2, 1. But here he's already communing with it, but he hasn't asked Barry Allen for the charge yet. And as far as the plot and the pacing goes, maybe that's why, obviously, but I've kind of wondered, like, you have all this time to ask for him to show up.
But he's lost in the sauce, baby.
Is that what it is? He's battling the demons already, and he's it's like the One Ring. It's like kind of distracted him from what he's supposed to do.
Absolutely. That's how I always read it as. It's just like he, you know, it's like he stuck his finger in the electrical socket and he's trying to
get out of it.
Regulate the flow of current. Like he's like, no, I'm a capacitor, so just like let this run through me and I'll let you know when I need help. Turns out immediately I need help, but I can't let go of this fork. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pacing for the movie and for Superman's entrance and this beatdown that we have to see. Of course it's all for that.
Yeah, yeah. We
and then plus you get the time
Superman come back and kick this alien's ass.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And you gotta show your friends getting up out of the rubble. So
that we get the line tomorrow that we'll hear. All right, we're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover our show as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can chat with us on Twitter at DCEUMinute. And if you'd like to hear more bonus content, we also have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one here on DC Cinematic Minute.